against the backdrop of an unprecedented economic downturn over which we had no control. But even in that environment, we did some great things. But how do you, but where do you see it?
Yeah. Well, let's button this down with the most common thing that's been said on the negative side about you, that you've been not been accessible. Do you think that you've not been accessible?
No, well, let me make 3 points. First of all, earlier I mentioned to you that when I spoke the day that I agreed to do this, I said I lost one family. Politics is a jealous mistress. I know what it is to have my children grow up and I not know them. People often don't think about the price that's paid, because everything you do, you pay a price for it, whatever you do. And in public life, there's a price. And we all have the scars of all of that, okay? So I said publicly, sometimes people have short memories, but I said, I will not risk that again. I will answer the call to service. But I don't want to end up 5 years from now with that stereotype notion when politicians, well, and I want to thank the tired, lonely wife for being at my side to allow me to serve. No, I don't want to have my life destroyed again to destroy another family. I love my wife. I respect her. She is my partner, my mate in this journey together. All right. So I didn't want that to happen. So instead of being at every mail opening or running around, I wanted to keep my family cohesive. That's a price nobody in community should ever have to ask a public servant, to destroy their family on the altar of politics. We're all just simple human beings. At the end of the day, there's no, you know, you slap me, I hurt, you cut me, I bleed. These are very real things. And if people begin to see the humanity in the people that come to serve, then maybe we don't have to be so brutal. Well, I don't see you, so you rather for you to, I said, if you see me all the time, then what am I doing? And I on the one hand, I want to keep my personal life intact, and at the same time, I wanted to be able to think and to be deliberative and to work. And I think at the end of the day, those things redound to the benefit of Oakland, whether people wrote about it or not.
Well, let's talk about one of the most important things that any government leader has to worry about today, and that is the portfolio, within the portfolio, a balance sheet. So how have you managed in these times of cuts and scarce resources to hold it together for Oakland?
Yeah. Well, several things. First of all, as you know, the charter requires that we present a balanced budget. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've sort of not so humorously said, we don't have the luxury of printing money at the local level. So you got to balance the budget. On the one hand, we try to do that with thoughtfulness and care. And I love to learn, eager to learn. I love learning. I've been in love with learning since I was a kid. So sitting with our budget people, sitting with our folks, these are the problems we have. My job as CEO was to say, here are our priorities based on our vision. These are things we cannot sacrifice on the altar of budget cutting, all right? So we've got to figure out how to do this in a way that is humane, do it in a way that has integrity, do it in a way that is significant and important. Remember, a couple of years ago, in my state of the city, I said, we're going to get to 803 police officers. It had never been done in the history of Oakland. In 11 months, we got to 836. Magically, what happened? In a balance of prevention and intervention and sustainability efforts, we put that together, the crime rate and the homicide rate started to drop. Well, when we got into the budget crunch, which had nothing to do with Oakland, this was a global meltdown, a national economic catastrophe that we're all still reeling from. All right, in our revenues went down, many things went down. Even in that atmosphere, We got $19.8 million from the COPS program that saved 41 police officers. We got the highest grant in the entire United States because we went back to the Justice Department and said, we're a poster child for what you want to do. We're committed to community policing and et cetera. So that was very helpful. Accessing much of these monies, even though you can't use them to balance your own budget, has and I think will continue to have some impact. But the most important short statement that I can make to you is we tried to help work our way through this process thoughtfully, with integrity, and based on the idea that there are many people in our community who are in need, and we cannot continue to sacrifice needy people on that altar.
I have to ask you about two topics that have haunted Oakland for decades, as well as many other cities: safety and education of the young. Is Oakland a safer place today?
Absolutely. 4 years down the road, Oakland is a safer city than it was. Now, remember, during the time I was campaigning, on the front page of the Oakland Tribune, there was 145 faces, all of them people of color. Most of them males that had been killed in Oakland, 145. In December of this year, 4 years later, the last number I looked at was 70. Now that's 70 too many, but 145 and 70, that sounds like over 55% drop in 4 years. So that went down. In the 3 years that we started to access resources with outreach workers and other things, the actual crime rate went down 3 consecutive years. So I can say to you, straightforward, straight faced, that this city is safer today than it was 4 years ago or 5 years ago. That is a matter of fact. You don't have to take my word for it. Those are facts. That's factual information that's there. You don't see 145 faces on the front page of the Oakland Tribune. Very interesting thing. I think maybe only one periodical had the audacity to say, well, thank the guy. Is it, you know, now if the crime rate were going up, you'd be beating him half to death. Crime rate goes down, you don't give him credit. So you deal with a double standard. But it's not about me. But what I'm saying is we put together with community a strategy that, Bevel, we refer to it as PIES, P-I-E-S, which stands for Prevention, Intervention, Enforcement, and Sustainability. And that comprehensive, multi-pronged approach actually worked. Community people helped develop it. We came together as community. We put it together as community. And that strategy has worked. Now, if we hadn't been in this economic downturn that we're in, I mean, it staggers the imagination what could have been done if we had still been in the great bubble. But we weren't, so we had to make decisions. But even in that, we still managed to stay a course that made this city safe.
What about education? Has Oakland been able to, well, it's moved because it's no longer in bankruptcy, back running its own ship again. Have you had a chance to concentrate on what could be done or is being done to improve educational opportunity?
Well, number one, I don't believe in the mayor's takeover of school boards. That's number one. That's my politics. That's my philosophical view. When we came in, our advocacy was return the schools to local control. And we were strong advocates, strong supporters. We were verbal. We were out there. We helped push that curve. That's number one. Number two, I remember we sat down with Atlantic Foundation and Kaiser Foundation, and we said, look, we need wraparound services to schools, that our young people are confronted with health issues and counseling issues and other issues. And when they have to leave the campus for these services, you tend to start losing people. So with the aid of the Atlantic Foundation and Kaiser Foundation, we were able to put together